This is the MPPD Podcast, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, thanks for coming over to the MPPD Podcast. In this episode, Inspector Calabrese talks with our mental health clinician, Lindsay Schwenk, about Mental Health Awareness Month. If you or anyone you know is struggling with mental health, there's help available, and we want you to reach out to our community partners. Please subscribe to the show and share with your friends. See you around town. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi there.
Thanks for being with us on our MPPD podcast. Second time for you.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
We're excited. This month, the reason we're here is to talk about Mental Health Awareness Month, which is for the month of May.
Absolutely.
And we have some topics we want to discuss and some stuff we're going to put out through our social media channels, but I think it's important just for people to know that it's here and it's not a mental illness is not confined to a month, but we really want to push out that awareness and let people know we're here for them the other 11 months out of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just a month to kind of learn more about mental health concerns and really see what's out there for you.
Yeah, and you're embedded here in the police department. You're our mental health clinician. And to jump right in, what made you pick this career field? How did you get into it?
Oh, gosh. I've always been really drawn to helping people and trying to figure out the best way to do that. Most of the people that are kind of in my field of social work, mental health, counseling, usually we've had people like that in our lives that have, you know, impacted us and made us want to pursue the same thing. So that's kind of the same story for me. You know, I had someone that really helped me through a lot of things growing up, and I wanted to kind of give that same thing back to other people.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And we appreciate so much having you here at the police department. And we handle so many calls and issues out on patrol and here in different capacities, but it's nice to have a professional in here. You know, the police officers are trained to a certain extent, but I think we have a pretty good working relationship and can get people some resources. So typically the officers are first on scene and handling situations, and then we're referring calls to you or calling you out to scenes. Can you kind of take us through maybe what your day-to-day looks like, what you do for the officers and people outside the agency?
Absolutely. So I work for the South Carolina Department of Mental Health, but I'm embedded here within the police department through a Victims of Crime grant. So a lot of what I do on the day-to-day is working with victims of crime, such as when in October we talked about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So victims of that, victims of other, you know, just various crimes throughout the community. But also a big part of my day-to-day is looking at our mental health interactions here. So anytime the officers have gone out on some sort of mental health call, I like to try to follow up with the family members or that person just to make sure they're still doing okay, see if they need any additional resources. Because a lot of people don't really know what's available out there in the community. And even if they do, it may not be the best fit for them. They may be looking for something else. So I kind of like to connect people with those various resources and make sure it's going to be the thing that's most beneficial for them.
Yeah, and I would imagine for people in a crisis or even calling emergency services of some sort, they're not really in that kind of mindset for maybe the next step because it's such an emergency the time of. So I think following back up with them, you might be a little bit more successful in connecting with them.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oftentimes, on both sides of the spectrum, when I'm working with victims or when we're talking about individuals for on those mental health interactions, you know, there's something that's happening right in front of them. And sometimes our officers, you know, will give them resources, but because things are so chaotic in the moment, you know, their adrenaline's pumping, it's hard for them to kind of retain some of that information sometimes, just because their emotions are so high.
Sure.
So it's nice to have that follow-up a day or two later, just so they we can reiterate those things and the options that people have.
Yeah, and that's for kind of a follow-up, but are you available to the public or the community outside of contacting the police officers if somebody were to reach out to the department? Is that some way for you to connect with people?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work very closely with our victim advocate team. throughout the day. And we have people that do reach out to us individually, you know, on their own without any police interaction, just seeking resources and things like that. So we're available absolutely to help with those things.
Okay. Well, that's certainly helpful. I think people need to know that. And I don't know if you can touch on it, but you're involved in our training process too. I've seen you with the new officers and part of our annual in-service training. So I think you're kind of covering the aspect of mental health throughout the whole agency.
That's actually one of my favorite parts of getting to work over here within the police department. I love getting to work with the officers. I think all of our officers are so great. They're so willing to learn new and different things, different ways they can approach situations. So I do work with all of our initial trainees when they're first becoming officers, giving them general information about mental health and the services available to victims. And then I'm also a part of the annual block training for our officers. Right. So every year our officers get some sort of training in some type of mental health, victim services, anything along those lines. I help do that for our officers. Right. So they're walking into all these situations with as much training and as much knowledge as they can to handle it well.
Right. And it lets us come at it from a kind of a team, whole community approach where they're better trained, better equipped to handle the situations. They have the connections and relationships with you. And hopefully we can all kind of work together to help.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's the goal. I think just getting people help a lot of the times on the police side, we handle calls where it's not illegal. There hasn't been a crime that's been committed. People just call us because they need help, and we're here to do that. So, again, I think having you on board is a tremendous step forward in that direction. One of the things I wanted to ask when it comes to mental illness and mental health is how prevalent is that in the community here or overall in the nation?
So it's about 1 in 5 adults are going to experience mental illness at some point. And there are a lot of different mental health disorders. Actually, there's a huge book that has all the mental health disorders in it. There's over 250 that we have a criteria to technically diagnose people with. But
is that the big book that you have in your office?
Yeah, that's the big book, the DSM-5. That's, so to speak, the Bible of mental health.
Right.
And it's, you know, pretty thick. But it's got all of those different disorders in them. But realistically, we see anxiety, depression, things like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. Those are kind of the most common that we're going to see in adults. And then in kids, sometimes you'll see things like ADHD, which is pretty common. Most people know about that.
Right.
And some other behavioral type of disorders in kiddos.
I gotcha. And what can people do for themselves if they're having those things going on, if they're finding themselves struggling with a mental health issue or concern? Is there something that we can tell them here that they can kind of start looking at to help?
Yeah, so the first thing that I always encourage my clients to look at is their self-care. So oftentimes, you know, when people are feeling anxious or depressed or just in general struggling with stress in day-to-day life, you know, you don't have to have a diagnosed mental health issue to be stressed and anxious about things.
Right. That was definitely what I meant to ask you in that way. You don't have to have a diagnosed
right
condition mm-hmm. just to be having a rough time, especially with COVID going on and the other day-to-day stressors that people have in the world.
Yeah, and actually that's a question I get asked a lot too. With COVID, has mental health become more of a problem? Like, it's 3 or 4 times more prevalent. The numbers that we have for 2020 as far as mental health goes, it's 3 or 4 times more than in 2019. So COVID-19 Right. definitely had a big impact on that. Just in general, feeling stressed, you know, feeling isolated, not getting to see as many people as you normally would, or having to stay at home, you know, that's hard. That puts a strain on you. So some of the biggest things you can do are really on the self-care side. It's taking care of yourself, exactly how it sounds.
Yeah.
There's some different facets of that. So we have the physical health that you're looking at, such as, you know, taking care of medical issues you might have. But also that's your appetite, like your food intake and your diet. That's having good sleep hygiene, making sure you're getting enough sleep every night, going to bed at a decent time, and exercising, of course. That kind of plays into that. We can look at the spiritual side, which doesn't necessarily have to do with religion, but it can just be finding some sort of purpose, you know, some sort of meaning within life. That is always something that's very important.
Yeah, it's probably tough to do with the cell phones and the technology and all the
right
all going on.
It's very difficult. I think there's a lot of pressure with social media and things like that to appear a certain way to the world. Right. So finding a deeper meaning and finding on the social side, finding more meaningful and healthy relationships, people that really enrich your life rather than, as I say, you know, kind of suck your energy away.
Yeah.
You know, I oftentimes whenever I talk with people, they always want to be the sounding board and help their friends. But, you know, sometimes you have to have those boundaries and say, you know, I just can't have this conversation right now.
Right.
So having that.
Be in your best place to be able to help somebody else.
Exactly.
Get to theirs.
Exactly. Okay. We look at things, mentally as far as your cognition. So things that you can do to keep your mind sharp, reading, things along those lines, doing puzzles, which, you know, I think about that a lot with my almost 2-year-old, him doing puzzles, but I mean, that's good for adults too.
Yeah. Those are also confidence boosters. I know my young one has small puzzles that I can do quickly. My wife has 500 piece puzzles, and those go a little longer, so
a little more complex, right?
Yeah. So for my cognitive development, I'm going to stick with the 50 piece ones. It'll give me a sense of accomplishment.
There you go. The self-esteem boosters. And then the last piece of self-care that we really look at too is that emotional health. So that's kind of where therapy comes into play. For some people, it's journaling. Anything really where you can let out your emotions and you can process them. Oftentimes for people, I think a lot of people do a very good job of compartmentalizing things and pushing through and kind of avoiding dealing with their emotions. And that can cause problems down the road. You know, we can get overwhelmed at times. Sometimes they can come out as being agitated or more irritable with, you know, friends or family. So that's why it's so important to process those things when you're feeling them rather than letting it build up.
Don't kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
I don't know
exactly
if that applies to here, but that's, as you were
absolutely
saying those, I think that's a good way to handle it, because we don't know what these COVID times and the stress and day-to-day and work and all that stuff that we just talked about is bringing. So
exactly.
Those are some good things to do, and we'll make sure to post those. I think the plan this month is to have one or two posts a week to get us through the month. For your day-to-day overall mental health. And like we talked about before, somebody can reach out to you in the office, and if you can't help them, I would imagine you'd be able to connect them with some sort of services in the Tri-County area.
Right. Here in our area, we do have a lot of different resources. In the Tri-County area, I think we're very lucky in that sense, because there's definitely a lot here. There are a lot of different options for people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most common things that I advise people do is if you have some sort of insurance coverage, see who you're within network for. That's
right.
Very important. You know, we pay into insurance for a reason. And if you have those benefits, you might as well utilize those. And there are certain providers that will be covered under certain types of insurance over others.
Right.
If you don't have insurance, that's okay. There are also a lot of self-pay providers, and there are a lot of resources for that as well. One of the biggest ones is the Department of Mental Health. They are housed over in West Ashley for Charleston County. Then we have one that's up in Somerville for Dorchester. And then we have one up in Monk's Corner for, you know, our Berkeley County residents.
Okay. And the mental health, that's a statewide.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a community mental health center that services every county within the state.
Okay.
And some of them are rural areas.
Sure.
We'll have, you know, maybe one center for a couple different counties. But overall, anywhere within the state, you are able to get connected to that community mental health center. And they can tell you more of the specifics in your area of what's available to you.
Right. So I guess the bottom line is, if someone needs some help, reach out. If we can't help you, we can connect you with the people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And those are some good tips and a good way, I think, for somebody to reach out in the day-to-day when they need some help. But what if someone is having a crisis, a true emergency, maybe thoughts of suicide or other thoughts that are time-sensitive? They're important. It's urgent.
Mm-hmm.
Should they follow those tips, or are there different things that we can do in those situations?
So calling 911, I think, is one of the biggest ones. If you feel as if you're in immediate danger, I often hear more from families, I think, than people that are in the crisis themselves. Sometimes it's hard to be able to ask for help when you are in that sort of headspace.
Right.
So I often hear from family members, friends, sometimes even a good Samaritan who encounters someone, you know, at a store or in a parking lot even. So yeah, those individuals, I think if you see someone that you feel like is struggling, or if you think that you have someone that you know who needs that immediate help, go ahead and call. It's not going to hurt anything. You know, our officers are there. They can do welfare checks and make sure that the person's doing okay. If they feel like the person is in a true mental health crisis, we do have some mobile crisis teams. So here in Charleston, Dorchester, and even in Berkeley counties, we have some teams that go out in the community. We're trying to spread that across the rest of the state, and I know they're doing it in some other pocket areas of South Carolina. Hopefully that'll be even more widespread in the future, but that team specializes in going out and seeing people when they're in a crisis. We work with a lot of different community partners to make sure that those individuals get the assessments that they need and get the help that they need in the moment. And those same resources are also available in our local ERs. When people walk into the ERs, you know, as we said before, 1 in 8 people who visit an ER, it's related to some sort of mental health concern.
Right.
So 1 in 8. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know? So 1 in 8 people that go into the ER are experiencing some sort of mental health crisis. So they're also able to do assessments in the ERs as well and make sure people get connected and get the right kind of help that they need.
Right. And I think it makes sense that the person in the emergency isn't going to stop and call 911. They might, and they have, and we've responded and helped them, but I think connecting the family, and that's something that we get a lot, is that on the law enforcement side, people don't want to call us because they think the police are going to come out there and arrest that person. And for us, and I think that goes back to our partnership with all the training we have and everything we do from the beginning with you and mental health and our teams, I think that is probably a misconception. I think that we're here to help is the bottom line. So we'll get there and make sure the scene or the house or wherever the location is safe for everybody. And that's our priority, is to make sure that people are safe and then no one's going to get hurt and we can connect them with you or whoever is on call or whatever that situation is. So the mobile crisis, I think, is a good thing for people to know about and reach out to them in the event. I mean, I think their name says it all. They come out in a crisis. I think that's a good way to think of, who should I call? And really, it's not up to the people to decide which one of these little pockets we're talking about. 911, and put that on us, and we'll evaluate and send out the right team.
Absolutely. And that goes in any of these situations. You know, we don't expect the everyday person to know, oh, this meets this criteria for someone to go to a hospital for mental health concerns or not. But what is important is that if you feel as if someone is a risk, you feel as if someone needs the help, it's important to reach out, because then we can get you connected to the right people to be able to help in whatever capacity that is. Sometimes when people have called me, it has been when there's a mental health crisis going on and I've gone out in the community here, or I've connected the mobile crisis team with those families and they've gone out and the person really does need to go into the hospital, get some help. But other times we go out and it's a safety plan, and it's saying, hey, let's get you an appointment with a therapist or someone to talk to about what's going on. So they deal with a huge spectrum of different situations, and every single one of them's unique. Every scene that you go on is different, and there are different factors that you have to take into account to make sure that we just keep everyone safe and get everyone the help that they need.
Yeah, and that's something we always stress on the law enforcement side, is that there's no one size fits all. And you know, I even feel bad calling it a scene. That's just one of those jargon things. I mean, we truly understand that we're going into people's homes, and this is a significant point in their lives, and we understand that, and just want to work together and give people the resources that they need. So we're thankful to have you and the resources that you bring and the training. And we
we know working together is making a lot of things better. What do you think one of your favorite thing is about your job now that you're over here embedded in the police department as opposed to working outside of a police agency?
Oh, gosh. As I said before, I really do enjoy getting to work with the officers. I certainly love all the other aspects of my job as well. But I think getting to work with the officers and really promote more of that change, you know, the past year, especially when we're talking about police officers, there's been a lot of criticism of officers and a lot of scrutiny, I think, of what officers do and how they handle situations. And I really enjoy getting to be a part of the solution.
Right. And you're valued here. We appreciate you. I think one of the things that we can kind of wrap up with is that you were recognized for our department's Community Outreach Award last year.
Yeah, that was very surprising and appreciated.
Well, so. it just ties into all that you do with our advocates and being part of that team and coming up with programs. You were on our podcast before for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Your resources and outreach to our community is certainly valued and appreciated. So I know you're making our officers and our community better.
Thank you so much.
So hopefully we hit some high points of mental health awareness for the month. And is there anything that you want to leave us with?
I just want everyone to know that no one's immune to mental health. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender, your socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter if you live in Mount Pleasant or Ravenel or, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter. Mental health is something that can affect everybody.
Sure.
And everybody can struggle. No one is immune. And it's okay to ask for help. We should strive to maintain our mental health just as we would our physical health. It's just, if you know, it's just as equally important.
Right.
And you can't take care of other people unless you're taking care of yourself. So, you know, I just encourage everyone to try to do that the best that they can.
Yeah. Well, we thank you very much. You have
Thank you for listening to the MPPD podcast.